Throughout the Easter season, we have been reading, the first reading typically has come from the Acts of the Apostles, which is in essence a history of the apostolic church as seen through the experience and through the observations of St. Luke, its writer. St. Luke was very distinctive in being an evangelist. He wrote, in essence, a two-part work. The first part being the gospel that he wrote concerning the life and ministry and words of Jesus Christ. And then he continued with part two, the life and ministry and words of the apostles of Jesus Christ. And it is a history certainly seen through his perspective. And one of the unique understandings of St. Luke as he wrote his history of the apostolic church was the activity of the Spirit in that church and of the power of prayer. We heard earlier, or will hear, of the first council of our church, the Council of Jerusalem, in which the church gathered together in prayer and seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit to address a concern brought forth in the church regarding what should be done with those who were Gentile converts to the faith. There were those who thought that in essence they had to become Jews first to accept Jewish law and Jewish practices in order to become a follower of Jesus Christ, the Christian. And there were those who said no, that wasn't necessary, that Jesus came to inaugurate a new covenant, and the Mosaic law and ritual was a part of the old covenant, and so it is not necessary for those coming into the church to become Jewish first. They would pray, they would gather together as community, and through prayer and inspiration of the Spirit, they would decide that no, it was not necessary for them to adopt Mosaic law. And we hear in this evening's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles another concern that was raised by the community. There were those who felt that their widows and orphans were being neglected, and they brought their concern to the community. The community gathered together in prayer, seeking the inspiration of the Spirit, and as a result, there were appointed those who would be deacons, who would care for the most vulnerable of their community. In each instance, I think there was a realization that as the church continued to develop and grow, and as it became more aware of the needs of the community, that the community would gather together to seek guidance and through prayer and through the inspiration of the Spirit, and in that they would come to understand that the risen Christ had not left them, when he returned to the Father, but that his work continued among them as they would gather for prayer in his name and invoke the Holy Spirit in his name. That, I think, is what Jesus was trying to reassure the disciples in this evening gospel as well, when he began our passage this evening with, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me." And the disciples certainly, yes, were deeply, deeply moved and impacted by witnessing the suffering and death of our Lord on the cross. That passage happened at a time when the disciples were certainly aware where Jesus was heading towards his certain suffering and death. And they were coming to him with troubled hearts. But Jesus sought to reassure them that as they had faith in God, so they were to have faith in him, in his life, and in his words, and that he would continue to be among them, to sustain them as they would work in the shadow of the resurrection, and and through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that he promised to give to them. The disciples would continue to gather together in prayer, continue to seek the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit in their efforts to continue the work of Christ, and in that their faith would be deepened and renewed. As we continue in our Easter reflection and journey, we too are mindful that we too are a church and we are a community, and that from time to time we seek guidance and direction, whether that be for our life individually or whether that be for the life of the community. We seek that divine guidance and inspiration, and we are called to imitate the life of that early church, that we are to turn to prayer. We are to turn seeking the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whether it is to address a need in our own life or in the needs of a life of our family, or whether it be in a need in the life of our community, having confidence that as we do so, that Christ will continue to guide and direct us. Again, it is not as if Christ left us or abandoned us, but rather he continues to be among us and among his church. That does not mean that we will not face suffering or pain or indecision ourselves. We know that that is part and parcel of life. But we also know that Christ never, never expected his people to go it alone, that he had promised to remain among us. We have no more powerful expression of that promise than what we do here this evening in gathering to celebrate the Eucharist. For it is in and through Eucharist that Christ continues to be among us. As we gather in his name, as we do so in prayer, and as we invoke the Holy Spirit of God to bless and to transform these gifts of bread and wine, let us know that the risen Christ is indeed among us. Let us turn to him with our needs, knowing that as we express our needs, so are Christ, as he once responded to the needs of the early church, so he continues to respond to the needs of the church today.